Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Today, I'd like to talk to you about forgiving, about fault finding, about forgetting. So, forgiving, fault finding, and or forgetting. Are you in which category? The forgiving part, the fault finding, and how is the fault finding related to the forgiving? Or are you in the category of the third one, forgetting? So in this particular scenario, the third one, forgiving, is in reference to your own personal pattern of remembering the indiscretions of others and selectively forgetting that you too have committed indiscretions that need to be forgiven by others, and most particularly by yourself. Things that you have not considered before, but had an impact anyway, though there was no malintent, and therefore easy for you to forget. Not as easy as it is for you to recognize and remember, and perhaps even hold against them the indiscretions of others. You know that in the process of moving through the human element, we sometimes get locked into that level. But we're so much more than the part that we can see and touch, that part that is mortal. As immortal beings, there's that dimension of us that is greater than anything that we ever could imagine or anything that we ever have experienced up to now. And in the context of recognizing that we are more than just a physical being, we are mental, we are emotional, we are physical, and we are spiritual, and even more. And in addition to all of that, you were born to be victorious. So what does that mean to you, to be victorious? Does it mean that you're always the winner of every conflict? Are you always in conflict with yourself or others? Or does it mean that you have inherited certain genes that allow you to conquer the world? What does it mean to you to be victorious? Because that is going to have an impact according to your beliefs, so be it, and on you, how on the way, that you look at things, how you see yourself in the world and how you see the world. So we're going to be looking at forgiveness, what it means to you. Are you a great fault finder and that always takes you into conflict? Are you frequently in conflict with what you desire and what you have or what you would want to have or what you have had before? And what is it that you're forgetting that if you were to remember it and act upon it, it would transform your life? You know that in the context of having conflict and competition, in the context of being thrown off center, which is what causes us to feel that we need to forgive or to be forgiven, there's something that happens at a cellular level internally in our bodies that causes our organs and tissues to react. And you know that our body hears every word we say. thought we think. And so as we are going through this experience of forgiving and fault finding and forgetting and forgiving and all the other things that we do, sometimes it feels to our bodies perhaps like a seesaw. We're up and down. We're like a merry-go-round. We're just going round and round. Well, I'm Joanne Buckner, the host and founder of Beauty Shop for the Soul. And Beauty Shop for the Soul, for those of you who haven't tuned in before, or maybe you didn't hear, that it is an opportunity. It's a place where one can discover much about who they really are, not how they presented themselves to be. It is how we presented ourselves to be that has brought us to the place where we are, which may or may not be the place you want to be. But even when you want to be, there's so much more available to you in the context of an infinite universe. So we're here to be victorious in the sense of the spiritual realm, which means that we get to discover that it's not always an option of fight or flight when we encounter conflict, when we discover incongruencies in ourselves or in others, that it is not always something that takes us to the position of fighting or flight. It is actually a higher method, and it's called transcendence. In the meantime, what stories do you tell yourself about yourself? I've had many stories that I've told myself. And in some cases, it has taken me years to realize that it was such, that it was a story, and that the story was getting in the way of progress, getting in the way of my evolutionary process and progress. And so we know that not just theoretically, we actually are all storytellers. I happen to be a professional storyteller, and storytelling is a method of feeling. It is how you see yourself in the world, that you interact with the world. And in fact, how the world interacts with you, the people that you meet and greet and even just think about. Going before you energetically is that energy vibration of how you see yourself in the world. And even while you are sleeping, there's a part of you, the deeper part of you, that subconscious part of you that goes out from you even as you sleep and connects up vibrationally with people, places, events, and all the things that are vibrating at that same vibrational frequency of your thoughts, of your thinking pattern, and then brings back to us, or in our waking state, the opportunity for us to discover and uncover and recover the truth about ourselves. And so we know that in truth, there is a presence and power of the universe that's greater than we are, and we can use this power. It is available 24/7, and it is only through our recognition of it and the realization that we are actually one with this power that we can, in fact, speak a word and direct that power so that we come to realize that the only power, the only presence in the universe is not a dual presence. It's not this and that. It's all this and not that. Meaning love, for example, the first commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And so as we love, love is the healer of all circumstances and all conditions. As Ernest Holmes, the founder of a religious science, said, ultimately there is no thing to heal. It's only love to reveal. So as we have a revelation of love, we can heal our finances. We can heal our relationships. We heal our thinking processes, and therefore it begins to be outpictured in all of our affairs and all of our activities. So since love and God are coexistent and co-eternal, and there's not a spot where God is not being omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive, then guess what? So is love, everywhere present, in and through and around all things, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. What a concept. What a fact. But it is learning that it is the love, and we're not talking brotherly love. We're talking agape love, the unconditional love. Most of us have been groomed to love based upon our expectations being met, and when they are not, we often withhold what we think is love. And, of course, it is according to our understanding and our belief that it is done unto us. There's also peace. That's another aspect that is everywhere present, coexistent and co-eternal with that one infinite power and presence that is called by many names and many people, but it operates the same way because it is that same divine essence. So peace is coexistent and co-eternal with God and love. And then there's wholeness, which knows not fragmentation or brokenness. We have come here to discover that we actually arrive on the planet whole, perfect, and complete. We're not talking physical disabilities that sometimes come with us. We're talking in the realm of the spiritual. There's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing left out. You know, a symphony plays only to harmony, not to discord. And so as we come to realize our oneness with all of creation, that there's really not a sense of separation, lack, or limitation. And you will be amazed at the things you can uncover and discover about yourself and about the world as you realize your oneness with the entire world. Oh, I had such an incident once. In this incident, I discovered that there was a whole army of ants, and they covered the ledge of my car, unbeknownst to me, until I opened the door, and it sent chills down my arms, or what you call God bumps. We used to say goose bumps, but they're God bumps. And as I looked at this massive army, I had no clue. I'd never seen anything, and I wondered, how in the world did they get up that high, and where did they come from, and how do I get rid of them? And as I'm having this thought, something said, speak to them. You are what? And so I bent over, and as I observed them for a few seconds, and then I began to talk to this whole army of ants. And so being very candid with them, since this intelligence that I'm speaking to is not the same frequency, but it is from the same source. And so I bent over and I spoke to the ants, and I acknowledged that there must be among them a leader. There must be someone in charge of this whole army. And I am there to inform them that the place where they were at that moment was not their place. It is at that moment my place. And I have no desire to harm them in any kind of way because I know that they have their place in the universe just as I do. And I'm inviting them to leave my place and my space and go to their own place. And as I began to speak to them, the most amazing and unimaginable thing happened simply because I had never thought about it before. But this whole army of ants, which may have been 8 to 10 rows across, I just count them, but it was huge. They began to come together so that eventually and pretty quickly, so I probably shouldn't say eventually, there were only two rows or two columns of ants, and they began to just move forward in the two rows and two columns until they disappeared. And so as I watched them disappear, I was amazed myself that I had whatever it was that initiated that, it was something outside of myself. I had never thought of the possibility and the potential to communicate with an insect or with insects. But if I can do it, guess what? So can you. And this is simply a confirmation that we are one, that all of creation came from a single source. And so in the same way that the essence of the Creator is in one aspect of creation, it is, in fact, in all aspects of creation. Just a different vibrational frequency. I love the poem or the quote that says, God sleeps in the rock. God dreams in the plant. God stirs in the animal and awakens in man. And in that case, Joanne. So there was an awakening process there for me. And that same potential and process, that same awakening, is available to each and every one of us. As our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and I'm certainly not putting myself in that place, but it is the direction to which we're all moving toward the infinite. But it was the Christ who said, anything that I can do, you can do it even greater. So, but what that means is, how in the world could that be possible? It's possible because the Christ itself was known as the way shore. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And as we have a realization of exactly what does that mean, we began to be able to talk to and, or as, my goodness, what's that radio program, The Dog Whisperer? Or they, you know, they have nowadays Heart Whisperers. So there are people who are demonstrating this potential and ability to communicate with other species other than just human beings and get them to respond in a very, very favorable way. What is it that you would like to communicate? What is it that you have a need to forgive if that happens to be your experience? Is it something that you've done or something that you think someone else has done? We're here to explore exactly how does that out picturing in your life. Does someone frequently find fault with you? And how do you feel when someone projects this fault finding on you? How do you respond, or do you react? And what about forgiving? Are you one that says, well, I can forgive, but I cannot forget? Where are you in this spectrum? So I just think that it's so phenomenal that we have so many thoughts a day. The neuroscientists say for women, 65,000 thoughts a day. For men, about 55,000. But about 90% of all those thoughts is the same thought repeated over and over again, hidden out in our subconscious mind, buried alive, so to speak. So anyway, we are here to explore and to discover a divine purpose. How do we do that? Through conscious consciousness. Conscious consciousness, what does that mean to you? You know, many of us are sleepwalkers. I've probably had some moments in my life where I didn't realize that I was sleepwalking, meaning that the decisions that I made did not come from a place of awareness about who I really am in my divine essence. And so sometimes as we are moving through life like sleepwalkers, we bump into things, experiences that cause us pain and stress and strain and interfere with our relationships, put a block on our finances or our ability to progress and move ahead. So we have what we call then opportunities for lessons. And what is a lesson unless we discover that something that we used to do, the fact that it was given to us by those who nurtured and cared for us, that without any malintent, that we pick up these habitual patterns and it becomes a way of life that we say that it was good enough for our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors, so why not be good enough for us? Well, I think that the answer to that question is in the question. Is it good enough to keep going through life frustrated? Is it good enough to keep meeting the same people over and over? Or have you discovered yet that you meet no one but you, that every single person you meet is in some way reflecting back to you energetically some aspect of yourself and your consciousness. Now, this would not likely be the conscious consciousness, but the unconscious part of you, the part that has the fear, the anger, the doubt, the disbelief, resentment, regret, revenge, etc., etc., etc. And so in Beauty Shop for the Soul, as we come to do an assessment of our head, not our hair on our head, but our actual head, to look at the science of our own living. How are we thinking? And what is the impact of that thinking? I was trained as a youngster, my entire family was, and there were quite a lot of us, to defend yourself. And so my thinking for many years was, if I did not initiate, and we were trained, of course, not to initiate conflict, but it was required that we defend ourselves. My mother was very emphatic about that. And so the way that we chose to defend ourselves was not necessarily the same, but we all had a method or an MO of defense. And my method was simply to put people in their place. And how do I do that? I thought I was doing it politely, respectfully, and et cetera, because I didn't rant and rave, I didn't use profanity, and I didn't initiate the conflict. But over time, I could see a reaction to different ones with something that I said, minus all the things I mentioned earlier. I wasn't ranting and raving. I wasn't calling them names, et cetera. And yet, there was that sense of someone's head jerking back, which meant that it was like they had been hit. So that energy that goes out from us, and remember, everything is energy. Every single thing in the universe is energy, just at a different frequency. We know that we are all radio broadcasting stations, and maybe you've not heard that before, but consider it. It's true. Thoughts are things. And when we have the same thought over and over and over, then what goes out from us is the energy radiating out of that thought, so that at some point it is going to connect up and have a combustion with whatever is vibrating at that same frequency, and then come back, as the law of circulation allows, back into our experience, multiplied. So sometimes when it seems like our situation is getting worse, it's not our imagination. It actually is happening on an unconscious level. And so conscious consciousness needs to be aware that we are energy and that we are energetically sending out into the universe things in the form of our thoughts. And all of it does not go out into the universe. Some of it manifests in our body. Are you inclined to have headaches? Migraines? Do you have indigestion often? Maybe even it shows up in your extremities, pains and joints, limping. There are so many ways that the energy that is in our bodies is outpictured, first inwardly and then outwardly. So we get to discover more and more and more of our true essence. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, once we do an assessment of where we are, then we get to discover how we have gotten in our own way. I remember once playing a game, and the game had cards. One set of, it was two decks that combined and made one set. And in the, there was a large set and a small set. The small set had picture cards, and the larger set had words, but it was the same words printed four times on each card. 52 of each and the probability of getting there were matching cards for the picture as well as for the word. The probability and the possibility of getting the card with the word that matched the picture was somewhere up in the thousands. And so I pulled one card. You weren't able to see the face of the word, the picture of the word, so they were upside down. So sort of blindly, you select, or I selected a card from each one, and the most amazing thing happened when I turned it over. The picture image had a man sitting on a branch of a tree, and he was actually sawing the branch. But where do you think he was sawing the branch? Guess what? He was actually sawing off the branch between where he sat and the trunk of the tree, and he was up pretty high. So I don't have to tell you what the outcome of that would be if he continues sawing there. He's going to go crashing down with that branch. And so that was the picture image there, a man sawing off a branch of a tree between him and the trunk and putting himself at risk. So what do you think the card had written on it? Not once, twice, or three times, but four times. Self-sabotage. And so I had reached into the deck and against all odds pulled out a matching card, the image and the picture, and it was about self-sabotage. So energetically, as I mentioned earlier on in the program, you know, we are like a radio broadcasting station, so there was something energetically that happened at that time that went before me that guided my hand into these parts. So it was a game. It was very profound to me. And in fact, I could actually see that happening in my life. And so I had a chance to take something that appeared to be a game and take a deeper look at myself. How was this showing up in my life? And that's what you get to look at in Beauty Shop for the Soul. What exactly is happening in your life? And how would your life be if it were not happening, or if it were happening in another way? Once we make this discovery in Beauty Shop for the Soul, the next step, just like in the traditional beauty shop, is to shampoo or to clean the hair and scalp. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, it would be a purification process. You would be cleansing the thoughts that no longer serve you, changing your vocabulary, your language. And of course, when we change the way or change the language that we use, we change the vibrations that are going out from us. You know that if you wanted to be a scientist, there are certain words, certain vocabulary that you'd have to be familiar with in order to be successful as a scientist. The same thing is true if you wanted to be a nurse or a doctor. There's medical terminology that one would have to come to know and apply in that, in the study of and in the actual working in that field. The interesting thing is that though we get these kinds of trainings as we go to specific schools, or it doesn't matter what it is, it's there. If we were traveling to foreign countries and we were not bilingual, it would behoove us to become familiar with some of the culture, the traditions, and the language to what degree we could. So why not then would this not apply to our spiritual growth, development, and evolution? Or there are things that we are saying to ourselves about ourselves that are not in alignment with the truth of ourselves or with our divine essence? I think so. In fact, I know so. As a practitioner, which, by the way, I am a licensed practitioner with the United Centers for Spiritual Living, and I, from time to time, someone would come, not just for a practitioner session, but sometimes just for prayer. And when I would inquire about the prayer, I would be told that they just want to get rid of some of the frustration, some of the worry, some of the anxiety, some of whatever it was that they felt overloaded with or overwhelmed with. And so then I would ask them, okay, let me be sure I understand what you're saying. So you want to get rid of some of this. How much of it would you like to keep? 75%? 50? 25? Just how much is it? And, of course, the only thing that I was doing was making them aware of what was coming out of our mouth, out of their mouth, because they're power in the words. In fact, scripturally it says life and death are in the power of the words. So you know that a horse is guided by the bit that's in its mouth. So the horse may weigh a ton or two. This tiny little bit is how the horse can regulate the direction of a horse. And similarly, a big ship, a lot of tonnage, is guided through the, oh, gosh, what is it called? The word is escaping me, but I'm sure you know what the word is. Anyway, it is just a tiny, tiny thing that guides the ship so that whomever is piloting the ship would know to turn that and thereby turn the direction of the ship. Well, what is it for us as human beings? It is the tongue. The tongue can be set afire. And, of course, I know that it's not happened with any one of you out there listening to me, but I know that you probably know someone who has used their tongue in a fiery way. And sometimes we say that they have a fiery spirit. But it's like arrows that goes out from us. And, and the same thing works in terms of restoration and healing ourselves. Again, the scripture says, and he sent his word and healed them. And so in the same way that the he, this presence, this power in the universe, that the creator of all things sent his word and healed, we too have been endowed with the same energy and essence that we can, when we align ourselves through our awareness of the presence and power that is greater than we are, that is everywhere present, and realize that we are, in fact, one with this power, we get to speak the word. Whatever we're speaking becomes manifested in our lives anyway, but conscious consciousness that we are talking about. It is the conscious consciousness that allows us to, instead of thinking that we need to forgive someone, we come to realize that the discomfort, that the dis-ease that we are experiencing has triggered something that is already on the inside of us. So that is not to say that the person or event that we just encountered has a good intention. But if we did not have that vibrational frequency in us, radiating out from us, it can never connect up with us. And so we get to look at how we see the world. What is it exactly that's upsetting us? And when we take responsibility for that, then we get to change the way we look at things. And right now I see that there's someone who would like to speak, and so I'm going to bring them on and hold on a second. Hello, area code 818, can you hear me? You're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi.
Area code 818.
Yes, hello.
May I ask who's calling and where you're calling from? Just your first name.
Susan from California.
What's your first name?
Susan.
Susan. Hello, Susan. Welcome to Beauty Shop for the Soul.
Thank you.
Great.
I'm going through, I would say, an awakening. I would say a spiritual awakening or woman awakening. of how I evolved to where I am today.
You want to share some of that with us?
Sure.
Okay.
I've had some twisted teachers to come to this place. I don't know if I need to share that. Do I need to, or can I? Will it help you? Or
well, I'm wanting to help you. So, what is a twisted teacher to you? What does that mean?
Well, my ex-husband was a sociopath, a master manipulator who played games with our minds, did gaslighting, that sort of thing. So I doubted my own being.
Okay.
I learned to survive abusive relationship, which I didn't even realize I was in one. I didn't even know he was a sociopath 2 years after court. So that was a rude of awakening for a person that didn't even know I had any, I don't mean to talk in third, I'll try not to do that. A person that, because I'm trying to, when I talk about myself, do you understand, like, sometimes when you describe yourself, you sometimes will talk like you're not that being, and
yes.
Therapists don't quite get it, so, okay. You're not a therapist, so, okay.
May I say something at this point, Susan, just briefly?
Yes.
I don't know about the therapist, but as a licensed practitioner, and I've done other healing work as well, and not that I'm the healer, but the talent through which the healing occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we speak in the third person or second, in other words, other than first person, you know, singular or sometimes plural, it is as though we are not a part of the thing that we're talking about. And in order to have a transformation, we have to put ourselves in the picture. So speaking in the first person does that for us. So that then...
Wait, excuse me, can you say that again? So when I talk in the third, that means I am referring to that memory of when on, re-remembering it, but I'm not at that place anymore. Does that make sense?
Well, what it says to me is when you are recalling it, you are, in fact, activating it in the moment that you're recalling it. And part of that's going to depend, Susan, on the energy that's being released from you at the time. So if you're able, like let's say hypothetically, that there was something that used to really, really disturb you, upset you, etc., and now you can recall it, it's still in the first person singular, you just don't have all that energy around it, all the attachment to it that you had at one time. So there's been a transition that is certainly healing, but it's still it's still in the first person. Most people who speak in the third person, they are not connecting with their part in that, if that's making sense to you. Like, for example, let me just...
Okay, explain to you. Okay, because I also am a writer. What came from it is my emotions came in a writing form, which what happened was instead of talking in third, the characters formed that are me in different ways to tell the story.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Was there more you were going to add to that?
No, I'm going to let you talk. Okay, thank you.
Well, I invite you and encourage you to talk. I'm just encouraging you as well to recognize, for example, like energetically, how do you think that we actually meet the people that we meet?
Different ways. This individual, my ex is confusing how I actually met him. If I would have listened to my intuition, because my intuition said to run away that day, I didn't. I came back. I was fooled because I grew up with no boundaries, not understanding I even had any gifts or knew about energy. I saw in him what I wanted to see or what he wanted to see. I didn't know having too much attention from somebody was not a good thing. So I basically didn't, I was in a situation where, how can I say it? Also, another thing, there were things going on in my life and I just was out of that place
okay.
with this relationship.
So,
I guess someone said that I just wasn't present, and I wasn't aware of any. My life was like my whole life. I wasn't aware of the people around me. I never grew up understanding evil or seeing it, and so I couldn't see him. A sociopath can fool you very easily. I wasn't the only one he fooled. So
okay, but you're the only one involved at the level that you were involved in. And so what I was referring to specifically is not the physical way you met him, not geographically where you met him, but energetically how you met him. So let's say that one hypothetical situation could be fear. So fear will, you know, just like it says in the scripture, the thing I fear the most has come upon me. So let's say that a lot of people in abusive situations have gotten out of them by running away, only to discover themselves in another one that is equally and maybe more abusive than the last one. And it can happen. I know of one person that ended up marrying and divorcing 7 times by the time they were 40. And this
uh-huh.
person was a nice, yeah. And they were, this woman was an architect, not an architect, an engineer. And she just had a lot of wonderful traits, but there was something about her that drew her into these kinds of relationships. So you know that the greater part of you is not that physical part of you. You are not only physical, you're mental, you're emotional, you have the spiritual dimension. And so spiritually speaking, that's the part of you that's never been abused or taken advantage of by anybody or anything. And so our goal is to discover our true essence and to operate from that, and this other stuff will just fall away from us.
It was confusing. When I look at the relationship with him, it was confusing because he gave me so much attention. I didn't know it was wrong. I never had that kind of attention where it was like he was carrying my bags and carrying, and I was walking, in front, he was behind me. It was like over everything, and I just never had anyone act that way towards me. So I didn't know it. That was wrong. I never even loved the man either.
So you married a man that you didn't love, and he acted like a sociopath.
No, I didn't. I didn't know. No, that was till later. I found out later. But it was just, that's how it started. And then when I got pregnant, things started changing and how he was acting to the baby. I didn't know. I just knew something wasn't right about the relationship, and I knew that I needed to stay in it to protect my baby. That started it. And also later on, he worked for my family. So it got to the point where it got very heavy, where I started believing the lies that if you dare tell somebody, your father or brother would land in jail. So it was a lot involved with his family, police, and all of it, how I got stuck into it. And my mind, I survived it. My mind and body separated. We all lived in this existence. And then it got to the point where I got my daughter away. My son and him he wanted to put my son in jail. I mean, it went on. And then one night he tried to kill me, and I'm here to tell the tale. And so I know about the court system. I know I had to live with him one more week to get things in order. So I really, and I never even got to go after him. He tried to prove I was an unfit mother. So no matter how we live our lives, those were just a lesson to learn about everything from a child that was innocent and protected from life to be thrown into a society of a court case that was private and all of the secrets and everything that people never shared with the family, never shared, or anybody being married to one like this. They're very clever to everyone. So it's like all the secrets were revealed, and that's how that story went. So
Susan, tell me, first of all, congratulations that you are here and that
thank
you called
you.
And that you are willing to speak up about it. But in terms of your spiritual magnificence, and you are spiritually magnificent, when you end up in these relationships, it is not your spiritual magnificence that takes you into that. It's something else that takes you there. And sometimes, let me give you another situation.
I changed completely. In each relationship, My mind and body were completely changed, transformed. I had no light in my eyes. I became a different individual. I didn't even know I was changing from both of those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Now you have the light shining from you?
Yes.
Wonderful. Congratulations again. You know what happens to a cracked pot? You know, it's not that it has, it seems to have less value, but that's the only way the light can shine through. It's through the crack. And so as we have these experiences, that's how we are able to release the light that's in us. And that's what I'm hearing you say about yourself in this experience that you have. There was some sense of you could say brokenness or something missing, but not really broken, but an opportunity that as you go through this and make these discoveries about who you really are, and in fact, even though he, your husband or your partner or whatever it was acting the way that he was, there's still a part of him that is exactly the way that he came here, not the way he's presenting himself. And so it is kind of a spiritual imperative that when we see through like we are in the world but not of it. And so in order to not be in it, we have to turn away from that. And as we turn away from it, in other words, it dissipates the energy that we had on that. So that we get to, and when we are allowing ourselves to be who we really are, that part of you that's never been abused or taken advantage of.
Your soul, you mean? Your soul that's never been touched. Yes.
Yes. You could say it that way. Well,
yes.
I would say that in the soul, I think that what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is a place for transformation. So, you know, you have spirit, soul, and body. And so, you know, spiritually speaking, you know, spirit has to have a vehicle to operate through, and it's your soul that it's operating through. And then what comes out as a result of that is dependent exactly upon what was fed into it. So,
I see. It's interesting. I haven't heard that before. So basically, it's complicated how that all happened. No, I mean, it's being where I didn't know. People put into the world your wants, your needs, your desires, and that I didn't follow my intuition. Had I spoken up or I spoke to other people, I never would have. I can't change it. That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, I have two children that had to experience having a father like that, and they lived their way, and I learned about abuse, how a girl and a boy experience it. It's like it's hard to explain in that situation how you were in the world. You all lived in the same home, but yet you didn't know what the other one was going through because that's how it was all planned.
Right. So, one of your opportunities for awakening and awareness is about listening to and following your intuition. You've been blessed because you're here and you were able to get out of that.
Yes. That's exactly it. And that's what happened with the second one. I told my mother I was going to write a fairy tale about, and she says, you can't write a fairy tale about your life, because another thing happened that was major was I believed another person's lie that my son was going to kill himself, and I thought, what do I have to live for? I stayed in that relationship for the sake of my family. I thought I was protecting them. So, and I met other women who had this same feeling about life, where they had to stay in a situation because they felt they didn't. When you're living with insanity, you don't even know you are in a certain situation. You just live to survive it, and you do whatever. And sometimes people don't realize it, that you're unable to speak. You're a prisoner of your mind. There's a lot of going on how a person survives a relationship and even doesn't even know that they were in one. It was after I went to court, after 6 years, I met a woman, and she happened to mention, go and look up this word sociopath. And when I looked it up, it was like, wow, to every degree this individual was. And he was bipolar also. So, okay, I'll let that off the table. If you, I could explain more at another time. So then, so I was going to write a fairy tale to help others. Oh, when I went through a depression, I said a little prayer, actually, while we're talking, it's part of the prayer, that one day from my house I would be able to talk openly about something I went through to help another individual. So no one would have to live the secret life like my children and myself. And for after this happened, years later, there was a helpline, and all these things occurred that I wasn't aware of when I was going through a situation. And I also understand that when people say, how come you never could speak? I just said, that's the way I was able to survive it. By me acting a certain way towards this individual, it kept me alive. The day he knew that there was nothing, you know, that the game was over, he didn't care if I lived anymore because the power game was over. You know about power with people?
Oh, yes, I do. But see, even the concept of power, in the context of what I'm talking about, there's only one power, Susan, in the entire universe, and it is beyond a person. You know, we have access to this power, but we are not the power. We're the channel through which this power flows. And so as we recognize that, so we're talking about a power that is omnipotent. So what does omnipotent mean to you?
A higher person than yourself that runs, that is vibrations, energy, and all of this. I also believe in that there's two things in the world with vibration and energy that things that we don't understand it or feel uncomfortable about when energy comes towards us, we think of it as, this is my take, it may not be what you think, is fear,
right,
and doubt. And things that we feel comfortable with, we have a certain vibration that we feel inside us. We, our human form calls it love. So does that? That's the way I think about life this way, that we put out vibrations and we pick up from each other. Energy.
But let me just say, in omnipotent means it, there's not, you know, people have some power, but people have power and they always find somebody else eventually that has more power, so it seems, or less power, and they seem to overpower those who have less and then be overpowered by those who have more. But omnipotent means all the power there is, and no human has all the power. We just have some. So we're talking about omnipotent. Omniscient means all the knowledge, all the science there is. And then we're talking about omnipresent, which means everywhere there is. So when we recognize that there's a power in the universe that's greater than we are and we can use it, that's what I was referring to earlier.
I see. I see.
Yeah, and see, you can tap into that. And when, that's how, you, have you ever heard of a situation where and it's happened many times in different places where a car accidentally fell down upon a child or a man and a single woman lifted that car?
Oh, yes, because when he got upset one night, yes, he went, yes, I experienced that because.
What I'm wanting you to get is that is an example or an illustration of a power that no woman has that kind of power. It was a power flowing through those women at that time that they were able to do that. At any other time, not only could that woman not do it, but a number of men could not do it. Well, the same thing happens in terms of knowledge. There are times when you can tap into who you really are. You have access to information that never would have flowed to you at any other time. And so
Like you just have, I have this thing where I have knowing. I just don't always have the knowledge how it comes to me. And
exactly.
Is that what you mean? Yes?
Yes, yes.
I have
you
it
know,
all the time.
It can creatively. It can be, you know, that's how some of your stories might come, you know, or some of your writing, or it could be an invention. You know, there was a man named, I don't know if you would know the name, but Dr. George Washington Carver. And he's the man that invented not only peanut butter, but over 350 things from a peanut. But where did he get this information? It was not something that he got from a textbook or could get from a textbook. But he said that he talked to plants. And when he did, his whole orientation was, if you love a thing enough, it will reveal itself to you. And so he was, and by the way, incidentally, he was actually born a slave. And at the end, of course, slaves weren't permitted to write or be educated or read. But over time, he learned to read and write and became a doctor, a scientist. And so in his conversations with God, at one point, he asked God to reveal him the secret of the universe. And God's response to Dr. Tarver was, that's too vast, that's too great for you, for a human being to get. But back, now we're back to what I was saying a while ago, omniscience. Nobody is omniscient. He said, ask me for something on your level, according to Dr. Tarver. So Dr. Tarver said, tell me the mystery of the peanut. And God said, that's more on your level. And he revealed to him 300 things. So there are dyes that are made, different kind of dyes, there are ointments and oils. There's just a whole vast number of things that came to him. And he's not the only
He's a visionary. He's a visionary. People like Walt Disney, where they are be able to tap into that part of their being, their intuitive, where they are able to. That's how it manifested. Yes, I understand totally what you're saying.
And so the thing about it is, you two are able to tap into that. You and I, and everybody else here. But many people go all the way through life and never do it. And one way to not do it is to get caught up in the anger, the frustration, the doubt, the resentment, because that's not our true essence. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally do, because as a child, I was a little different, and I didn't know it. I talked in rhyme. I didn't understand time. I thought life was an illusion. And nowadays, you find out, wow, that was quantum physics. Or I would have dreams and put myself in movies. You know, that's called visionaries. But I didn't communicate that way. I didn't understand it. Or I had it all my life. So it's only to recently, this year, where these things are coming together. And the second relationship was, okay, so I had a dream of this fairy that was bored or was outside her house, and this person, this elf, came towards her, was wearing a shiny outfit, and he said, she had time to go for tea. You know, he says, come with me, and you'll be back to have tea with your family. And she thought, okay, fine. But she did come back, but she was never innocent again. Now, I never thought about that, what I wrote. That was pretty much trying to explain to someone what it was like being married to an abusive man. You know, that an innocent young woman or a girl, what could go on if you don't know about being around strangers or, you know, not being aware of certain things.
Okay.
So that was trying to explain that.
Okay. Well, Susan, the time is almost over for the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't get to share as much, but I guess what the idea is, just keep on my path, and it's okay who I am. And that's part of a life experience.
Well, and I just want to share a word for you, Susan, that right now where you are, all the wisdom of the universe is where you are. It's in every muscle, tissue, every cell of your being. And as you contemplate that and ask for it to reveal to you whatever it is that you need to know, say, do, or be, little by little you'll begin to expand more than you already have in the direction that you want to go. So I want to thank you for calling.
I guess what I wanted to say before I shared all this, with all of this that I know about all these things that I have, as far as relationships with another being, that is the most complicated thing for me, is communication to another. That's pretty much it. But I guess that will come eventually.
Right. Well, communicating, I've got to go.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty Shop for the Soul.